On this Veterans Day, we remember those who have sacrificed to protect and serve our country. To honor them, we bring you a story of one World War II veteran who shined a light during a dark time. From the Fronteras Desk in Flagstaff, KJZZ's Laurel Morales reports.
His whole life, Howard Weisling wanted to be a comic strip artist. But in December 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and Weisling felt compelled to enlist. He trained to be an aircraft mechanic with the Army in Gila Bend.
He would tell stories about putting the tools in water to keep them cool enough to handle, and then you would have to dump out the water because the water would get too hot to touch.
Mike Weisling is Howard's grandson. He loved to hear his grandfather's war stories.
He probably told me a lot of stories that were not appropriate for a child to hear.
Mike says after flight engineer training, Howard was promptly shipped off to Europe. On his maiden flight, his plane was shot down over Austria. Mike has a memento of that event hung on his wall in Flagstaff.
So this right here is the ripcord that my grandfather pulled when he bailed out over Austria in December of 1944.
The entire crew of eight men landed safely in Austria, but a farmer found them and turned them over to a prisoner of war camp in Barth, Germany. Howard's son Morgan Weisling says it was freezing in northern Germany and the men almost starved to death.
The only thing they were fed was the garbage of the German soldiers. They would come and open the door and throw the stuff that was left over on their plates onto the floor of the barracks.
Hungry and homesick, Weisling coped the only way he knew how. He drew a comic strip. The book, Cigarette Wrappers Bound Together with Scrap Metal, was sent around camp.
And this is the story he would tell me all my life. And he'd say, yeah, I would do one panel of the story, and then it would get passed around the whole camp, and eventually he'd make it back, and he'd do another segment of the story, and that would get sent around. And this would just go on, you know, for months. It kept the morale of everybody up because they had something to look forward to.
After an entire year of this, they woke one morning to find their guards gone. They fled before the Russians arrived to liberate the camp. Howard finally got to go home. Just lucky to get out alive, he left the book behind. Back home in California, Howard soon had a wife and kids to feed, so he had to set aside his dream of becoming an artist and took a job as a gardener instead. Morgan was the youngest of three siblings.
He was a different kind of a guy with me than he was with my brother and sister. I think they got the father who was still fresh from the POW experience.
Morgan also shared his father's artistic gifts. Howard lived for the nights when Morgan would crawl upon his knee and he'd teach him to draw.
He would draw some cartoons and I would copy exactly what he would do. I still have all those sketchbooks.
Howard lived to see his son realize his dream of becoming a successful artist. Morgan is known as one of America's top contemporary painters today. That's how, seven decades after the war, a stranger in New York was able to find him online.
I got this email out of the blue that said, I'm a retired businessman from New York, and I think I have something that might belong to you.
The man said one of his business partners embezzled a lot of money from their company.
And he went out and bought a truckload of Nazi artifacts before we could catch him. So we couldn't get the money back. All we had was this truckload of Nazi artifacts. And we're Jewish.
The truck contained three of Hitler's watercolor paintings, billy clubs, and his father's comics, with Howard's name engraved on the cover.
How did they end up in a truck with Hitler's watercolors when he was just a lowly POW? How did it end up in this truck?
Several days later, when it arrived by FedEx, Morgan couldn't believe it.
I cried more, and I hate to say this, than even when my father died. He had died previously, like 7 years before this. All I could think of is if my dad was still alive, this would have killed him, because he would have been just as shocked as we are.
Today, Morgan keeps the book in a safe deposit box.
I'm afraid. If my house were to burn down, that's the first thing I would be like, oh, no! I try to keep them under lock and key because they're just so valuable to us.
Laurel Morales, KJZZ News, Flagstaff.